ברוכים הבאים to our weekly show of Lecha Dodi, and we are at Parashat Chukat, at the interesting story of Moshe Rabbeinu talking or hitting the Sela and not doing as Hashem commanded apparently, and because of that he gets punished that he should not be able to enter Eretz Yisrael, not only him but also Aaron. And the question we always have to ask over here is, what did he do wrong? Obviously, since we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, it seems like you can't judge them regular like you would do to other people. And therefore, when you go into this parasha, the way the Mefarshim do it is that they come into it with a magnifying glass to see where did Moshe Rabbeinu was doing something wrong. And some of the Mefarshim say different perushim, and we found about 10 perushim in Or HaChaim HaKadosh. One of the perushim, for instance, is Rashi. Rashi said that instead of talking to the Sela, he was hitting the rock. And because of that, he was punished. L'chora, the question on that we asked is that, what is it so wrong to do such a thing? Is that really deserving of the punishment that Moshe Rabbeinu received? And secondly, if Moshe Rabbeinu sinned, what do you want from Aaron? Why was Aaron punished? That's another question. Also, other perushim that you find over here, that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu should have hit the Sela one time and he did twice, and because of that he was punished. And the same questions that I asked before, what is it so bad and why is it that Aaron is also getting punished? Others would say that since he spoke to Am Yisrael in such a harsh way, in such a harsh language, because of that, he was punished. And when you take a look at the Pasuk again, you'll see that it's only Moshe Rabbeinu that spoke that way, and not Aaron. And therefore, you ask, why is it that Hashem punished Aaron as well? Ve'omer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron, lama yan lo emantem bi la'kdisheni. Why Aaron? What did Aaron do wrong? Many of the Perushim have a lot of questions on them, and in order to explain what have really happened over here, in reality, you can take any perush from the perushim and the rishonim and the achronim, take a look at the Or HaChaim again, and he'll bring a collection of them. But it seems like you have to separate and make a distinction between the sin itself of Moshe Rabbeinu, the mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the outcome of that mistake. The mistake is one thing, and the outcome is a different thing. And it seems like, since we're dealing with the leader of the generation and the leader of Am Yisrael, therefore, the outcome also takes effect. And over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually not so much concerned with the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, rather with the outcome. How do we know that? Although the Psukim come and tell us what have happened over here, and the Mefarshim try to be medayek, what was wrong? Hashem said to Moshe, קח את המטה, הקל את העדה, תעב ארון אחיך, דיברתם אל הסלע. You should talk to the cell, to the rock. ונתן ממיו, he will bring water. וקח משה את המטה מלפני השם, כאשר ציווהו. משה רבנו took the stick, and he hits the rock. ויקהילו משה וארון את הקהל לפני הסלע, ואומר להם, שימו נא המורים, המן הסלע הזה נוציא לכם מים, וירא משה את ידו, ויח את הסלע במטהו פעמיים, ויצאו מים רבים, ותשת העדה ובערם. So, over here, the Pasuk, the Torah, doesn't tell us really what went wrong. It doesn't indicate in any way what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing wrong. It just says to us the story. So it seems like the Torah is not so much concerned with what he did wrong. So where is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is being criticized? The Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron, Yan lo emantem bi lahakdisheni, לידי בני ישראל, לכן לא תביאו את הקהל הזה לארץ אשר נתתי להם. Which means, Hashem doesn't go and attacks the act that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Rather, he attacks the outcome. What was wrong over here? You could have done Kiddush Hashem, and as a result, instead of that, was Chilul Hashem. And that is something that Hashem can't have. He can't tolerate. And therefore, because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were punished. And in Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, we have a rule that it doesn't make a difference whether you are Mezid or Shogeg, whether you're mistaken, or whether you did it or you didn't do it. If your outcome was that your act brought out Chilul Hashem, So you are punished for that. This is how Chazal said, and this is how Rabbeinu Bichai in Kada Kemach on the Erech of Kiddush Hashem, or Chilul Hashem rather, explains to us that there's no difference between if you did it intentionally, you did it knowingly, or you didn't do it intentionally, rather it was b'shogeg, the punishment will be the same. Echad mezid v'echad shogeg b'chilul Hashem. And therefore, over here, Moshe Rabbeinu is getting hit very, very hard. For what? Not for the act so much, rather for the outcome. You could have done, Hashem says, a kiddush Hashem, but you didn't. Yan lo emantem bilak disheni ledem bnei Israel. That is the problem over here. And therefore, because of that, the most severe punishment. Lachen lo tavio et hakal hazeh el haaretz asher natati lahem. Now, we have to understand that when we're dealing with kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem, we're dealing with the most extreme and important mitzvah or avera possible. And we can clearly understand that from the way that Chazal explained to us the punishment for a person that caused chilul Hashem. Any other avera, one can make teshuvah and get kapara. Whether it was aseh that Chazal tell us in the end of Yuma and brought down in the Rishonim, halakha lemaaseh, in the Rambam Hilchot Teshuvah, and the Ramban in Shaar HaGmul and many Rishonim, that the mitzvah aseh, person didn't do a mitzvah aseh, he could do tshuva right away, and it's right away nimchalo. If he was violating a lot aseh, he violated something that he shouldn't do, over there you need also, besides the tshuva tola yom kippurim mechaper. If he did something that's worse than that, a lot aseh, a violation of the Torah that carries with it a capital punishment, it's not enough that he gets to do tshuva, rather tshuva tola, also yom kippurim tole, and yisurim mechaperim. You need to have yisurim for that. But when we come into chilul Hashem, it says in the Gemara that the only thing that's mechaper is mita. And the way it's explained in Siftei Chaim, he explains over there, Chaim Friedlander, that the reason for that is because chilul Hashem, as long as a person is alive, the chilul Hashem is still in the air. People relate the act that he did to him, although he did tshuva and he changed his ways, but they relate it to him and they say he's the one that caused and did chilul Hashem. And because of that, they are constantly in a state of being bizui for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the only way to get rid of it is when the person himself is not in the world. By the way, Rabbeinu Yonah has a different idea of how to get rid of chilul Hashem, and that is by causing kiddush Hashem, by doing the opposite. Because now people would say, look at that man that's doing kiddush Hashem. So therefore, we're dealing over here with very, very important things. Now, when we come to this sugya of kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem, this is something that each one of us should take to heart, especially when we're starting the summer. Why is that? Because during the year, when we are around in our community and in our city, so we know how to behave within our city and our community. We know how to behave between us and our goyim neighbors. And therefore, we don't do anything that's so extreme. That is fine because people are people. And when you're around those people that see you all day, so if you make a small mistake over there, maybe it's not the end of the world. But when summer comes around and we go out of our city and we go somewhere else, now it's a totally a different story, because those people that meet us at the traveling places, they're not used to seeing Jewish people throughout the year. And the only times that they do see Jewish people are at those times of vacations, or ben hazmanim, or when it's a holiday, Chol HaMoed, and that is the chance to either do Kiddush Hashem, or Chas V'Shalom, to fall into the Avera of Chilul Hashem. Why is that? Because over there, everything a Jew does is under scrutiny. Everything you do is being looked at with a magnifying glass. And you'll see that whenever, for instance, there's some kind of line going into a certain place, let's say you're going into the zoo. So there's a line of people that are waiting, and you wait also in line. There's got to be over there many, many people, but the Jew stands out. It's like emphasized. Everybody can see that there's a Jew over there. And not only that he's emphasized and he stands out, but rather also people constantly view how he behaves. Like, look how he behaves. And anything that we do wrong is put under the magnifying glass and is being looked at in much larger than what we did. So therefore, since we are constantly under scrutiny, one must know that even the smallest things could become a very serious chilul Hashem. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu over here. He didn't do much. He did things that are very, very minute. And the poskim tried to explain maybe this, maybe that, maybe he should have hit this stone only one time. He hit it two times. Okay, no, not such a big deal. But the result of that, since he is Moshe Rabbeinu, was chilul Hashem. When we're coming to our trips, we need to know that if we stand online and we by mistake touch somebody with the arm, with the elbow, and the person is really waiting for us to apologize for that. If we ignore it, such a thing people view as a very negative behavior. If we stand online and our kid is misbehaving and we scream at him, we don't talk to him in the way that we should talk, people see that and people look at it at a very negative way. Many times you'll see that when you go away, any other place than our comfort zone over here in New York, you'll see that people are extra super polite. And therefore, you have to behave in the same way and the same manner. Over here in New York, people are a little bit less polite. And since also it's a collection of nations over here, so if you forgot to say thank you, you forgot to say excuse me, you forgot to hold somebody at the door while he wanted to walk in, nishkafelach, it's not the end of the world. But when you go away, those things seem to take a totally different importance, totally different value. Why? Because you see that people are waiting for such a thing. You walk into a store and there's somebody walking behind you. If you forgot to hold for him the door, you'll see that you'll get a comment, a very nasty comment, something like, thank you for holding my door, or something like, so rude, or whatever it is. So you see that people are constantly putting us under that magnifying glass, and we'll have to behave in the same manner to make sure that we don't cause that to show them that we're doing something wrong. You sometimes, in New York, feel that you need to cut the line. You go into the bridge, you cut the line. No, over here, you feel that everybody's doing it. It's not so bad. But when you go outside of New York, people behave very differently. You cut the line, and they see there's a Jewish person over there. It doesn't look good at all, and people react to it. You go into a store, and you need to pass by, and somebody's looking at a certain item, and you want to pass by, make sure to stop, say excuse me, or go around him, but not to cut him. Why? Again, those things are viewed at these people, since they are very, very into being polite, viewed as a very nasty way of conducting yourself. And that causes Chilul Hashem. And you can go on and on and on. The way things are being done, one should not speak loud. You'll see that people that speak loud, people don't look at it in a nice, positive way. And you do see that sometimes our brothers and sisters, although we are not loud people, but you see that sometimes you see one person that speaks loud or screams at his child or speaks on the phone at a place where people could hear him, and he's just not polite and not nice, and people don't look at it in a nice manner. So although it's not such a bad thing, but since it's viewed as something negative, it's a lack of manners, therefore such a thing could come into the aspect of Chilul Hashem. Now, we need to understand that the way the Gemara explains the Chilul Hashem, Gemara in Yuma Pei Vav over there, it says that all kind of small things could cause Chilul Hashem. And therefore, the Gemara explains there that if a rabbi would go into a store and not pay right away, and would tell the clerk, just write it for me on your book, and I'll pay next time, that thing could come into viewed as Chilul Hashem, because they might think that you're not planning to pay. If you go into the street and people see you without tefillin at the time that they used to wear tefillin all day, that and the Amoraim explained that sometimes they were weak and were old and they couldn't put tefillin at that time. But since it is viewed as you taking the mitzvot lax, therefore that could be a chilul Hashem. So we see even on very minute things, it's chilul Hashem. And not only that, each person is according to his level. And since we're dealing with rabbis, rabbis are being viewed and put to a higher standard. When we go out to the world and we go out on trips, we are as those rabbis because people view us as those that represents Hashem and represent the Torah. And this is actually what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says that what is a chilul Hashem? Chilul Hashem is any time that one says, "Oy lo lerabo shelimdo Torah, oy lo laze shelamad Torah." It's terrible that he learned Torah. It's terrible this Rebbe that taught him Torah. What do you want from the Rebbe? What do you want from the Torah? So it's very interesting the way the Rashash explains, and this will teach us how chilul Hashem works. The Rashash in Yumai Pei Vav on that Gemara explains the following. Nireh derotze lomar shelefi shehabriyot omrot ha-Torah hevi'ato lamidot ha-megunot halalu ve'omrot oy lo shelamad Torah. אם כן מחלל כבוד התורה ומחלל גם כן כבוד הנותנה ואין לך חילול השם גדול מזה. Which means like this. The Rashash explains the following. When we are between ourselves and sometimes someone does something wrong, so it's much less of a חילול השם. Because when we see somebody doing something wrong, we understand it's nothing to do with the Torah. This person is actually misbehaving. He's actually doing against the Torah. When you either sin or do something that doesn't fit the midot tovot that the Torah obligates a person to have, so you are not violating the Torah because it has nothing to do with the Torah. You're not mechalel the Torah because it has nothing to do with the Torah. You're not reflecting the Torah. This is something that's not what the Torah teaches you, not what Hashem teaches you. But what that is when it's between us. We can very easily make that distinction. The Torah says you have to have good midot, and you don't. So therefore, you're not following what the Torah says. Don't connect the two things together. But when we go out to the street and we go out to the trips, over there, it's people that hardly know Jews. They don't know much of us. And the only way they hear about Jewish people is usually on the media, which doesn't have such a good view on Jewish people, and they definitely don't perceive to tell people good things about Jewish people. And therefore, when they see us, they can easily relate us to what the Torah teaches. They don't know that the Torah says that you're not allowed to cut the line. They don't know that the Torah says you have to behave in a good manner. They don't know that the Torah says that you have to be respectful to others. They think that if we cut lines and we don't say thank you or welcome, and we don't behave in the best way, they think that this is the way the Torah teaches us. The Torah says you have to keep the Sabbath, you have to make bar mitzvah, you have to eat kosher. That's what the Torah says. When it comes to other people, you could misbehave to them, you could mistalk to them, you could become a person that very, very aggressive, and that is the way the Torah teaches. That's the way they think. And therefore, says the Rashash over here, this is how you are mechalel the Torah. Because people relate your behavior to the Torah. They don't know what the Torah says, but they see you, the way you behave, and they say, you representing what the religion is. This is the Jewish religion. And if they see it over and over again, and again, although majority of people, Jewish people, don't behave like that, but it's enough that you have one here and one there, and people understand, look, this is how Jewish people behave. And therefore, since the Jewish people behave like that, this is what the religion is all about. This is what the Torah is all about. And this is what their God is teaching them. So comes the Rashash and says, נראה שרוצה לומר, לפי שהבריאות אומרות, התורה הביאתו למידות המגונות הללו. The Torah was teaching him this midot מגונות. It's not like he was born like this, with such a midot megunot. It's not that he learns this from the society. Rather, this is what they teach them in the Torah, ואומרות, אוי לו שלמד תורה, אם כן מחלל כבוד התורה, מחלל גם כן כבוד הנותנה, ואין לך חילול השם גדול מזה. This is the worst aspect of חילול השם. And since the Hashem created the world for his honor, לכבודי בראתיו אף עשיתיו, Hashem created the world that we should honor הקדוש ברוך הוא. And when we do such a thing, we're doing the opposite, we מחלל שם שמיים, this comes out to be the worst sin possible. And that is the pasuk, באמור להם עם השם אלה, ומארצו יצאו. Which means, when this is the pasuk, by the way, that the Gemara learns חילול השם from. People are saying, אמור להם עם השם אלה, רוצה לומר שלומדים תורתו. That's the רשש words, which means, these are the people that learn השם's Torah. באמור להם, עם השם אלה. These are the people representing the Torah. And look the way they behave. ומארצו יצאו, יצאו מדרך ארץ והמוסר. Therefore, because they learn the Torah, therefore they don't behave in the right way. Therefore they're misbehaving. Therefore they're so rude. Why? Because that's what the Torah teaches. This is the exact result and what people come out with. That as long as you learn Torah, you come out to become such a person that's missing the basic manners. And the same thing on the other side of the coin would be with Kiddush Hashem. If a person behaves in very much manners and he behaves very nicely, people are saying that, look at that. Obviously, the Torah was teaching him to behave like that. Obviously, that's Hashem commend to him. And therefore, that is causing Kiddush Hashem. This is a very, very important musar that we need to take when we go out to the world and we see those people. But we need to learn a little bit more about traveling, as we'll see right now, from the very next story, right after the story of Mei Meriva. And that is what happens when Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go and make a shortcut to go to Eretz Yisrael through Melech Edom. And the story goes like this, that Moshe Rabbeinu sends messengers to Edom, to the king of Edom. And he tells him, listen, I need to go to your land, into Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu gives him a whole derasha. He says like this, כה אמר אחיך ישראל, אתה ידעת את כל התלה אשר מצאתנו, ירדו אבותינו מצרימה, נשב מצרים ימים רבים, ויראו לנו מצרים ולאבותינו, וניצק אל אדוני, ונשמע קולנו, ונשלח מלאך, ויציאנו מצרים, ואין אנחנו מקדש שגבולך. He speaks and speaks and speaks and speaks and speaks, and now, after he gives a whole introduction, he starts asking very, very politely of what he wants. What does he say? נעברנה בארצך, let us go through your land. לא נעבור בשדה וכרם, we are not going to step, we're not going to put a foot into the vineyards or into the fields. לא נשתה מי באר, we're not going to drink from the well. דרך המלך נלך, we'll go on the king's road, which means right on the highway, right on the freeway, right on the way that people walk. We're not going to go not to the right and not to the left. לא ניתה אמינו שמאל. עד אשר נעבור גבוליך, just to make a shortcut, we're not going to stay long, boom, in and out. Edom doesn't go for it. ואומר לו, אדום, לא תעבור בי, פן בחרב צא לקראתך, you're not welcome here. Don't come here, because if you step a foot over here, I'm going to come out to fight you with a sword. But when we see Moshe Rabbeinu, the way he talks, we can learn a lot of things to our drasha today, to what we're trying to learn. And that is, when you go out to other peoples, this is the way the Torah teaches us. This is the way Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us how to behave to other people. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Na'abra na be'artzecha. Let us please go through your land. Now Moshe Rabbeinu could have just go through the land without asking permission. But Moshe Rabbeinu is being very polite over here. And he's asking, Na'abra na be'artzecha. And that's the very first thing that we need to learn when we go out to other peoples. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking to go through the land of Edom. And what do we need to ask? Whenever you need to do anything, you have to ask permission. People are expecting you to ask permission and not do things just by yourself. Which means, for example, if you feel that you need to use the facilities and there's nothing around, but you see a restaurant, you see a pizzeria, you see a Dunkin' Donut. You want to go inside. It's very easy. You can go inside and use it. But since you are going into somebody's store, ask permission. They're going to allow it, and it could be that you could go even without asking permission. But midercha musar is to ask permission. Can I use the facilities? You're not sitting there to eat a pizza. It's therefore, since you're not part of that, of the clientele that they have, so you have to ask permission. It's a very simple thing. Whenever we do anything like that, you want to take a cup of water from their facilities or from their sink outside. You have over there sink, you have your own cup. Can I please take water? You ask permission. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us over here, this is the way you conduct when you are by other people's places. Can we please go through your land? That's the first thing. Secondly, lo na'avor besadeh v'cherem, which means I'm not going to put a foot and not going to put my feet into any place that doesn't belong to me. When we go as a tourist to see places, we need to understand that there's two kinds of tourist places. One place is a place that's completely made for tourism. And therefore, over there, people would be extra polite to you. You'll see people smiling to you, talking to you very nice. What's the reason for that? They need your business. They want you to come there. They enjoying the profits that you bring in when you come to visit. But then you have other places that don't do that. In the first place, you can take an example. You go to Amish Town. In Amish Town, in Lancaster, you see those Amish people, whenever they see you, they'll wave, they say hello, they always smile, they're never rude. Why is that? Because they understand this is a place of tourism, and this is the way we make our living, from those people that come here. So every person that's going to pass by, they say hello to you. That's one place. Then you have another place that the people over there are not benefiting from you. You're going to visit Florida. You go to visit California. You spend some money in the stores. You spend some money at the attractions. But the natives over there are not directly enjoying and benefiting from you coming there. And as far as they're concerned, it's better if you're not there. You are interrupting their way of life, and you are constantly, or not only us, every tourist that comes in disturbs, and therefore they're not interested. They're not interested. These are two different kind of people. Those people, you'll see, they're not going to look at you in the most favorable way. They're not going to smile at you. They're not going to say hello. On the contrary, anything that you'll do wrong, they'll pick on it, and they'll tell you that you are rude, and you are not, and how could you behave like that, and so on and so forth. So we need to know that when we go to places like that, the way Moshe Rabbeinu said is lo na'avor besadeh v'cherem. Whatever you are allowed to see, that's where you see. You don't go into places just to look without actually benefiting the people. So therefore, you go into such a place, go to the tourism place. Go to the place that are made for that. You go to Florida, go to the places in Florida that are made for tourism. Don't go between the houses where people are feeling that you are taking away their privacy. You're invading their privacy. Don't do that. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Lo na'avor besadeh uvecherem. Thirdly, lo nishte mei be'er. Rashi explains, what does it mean? We will not drink well water. Rashi says that Am Yisrael had the well, Be'er Miriam. And this is the way they drank. They drank from Be'er Miriam. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, while we are at your land, we are not going to drink anything that belongs to us. We're not going to eat anything that belongs to us. On the contrary, we'll buy from you. That you sell water bottles, we'll buy those water bottles. You sell some things to eat, apples, oranges, whatever it is, we are going to buy. Although we have our own, we are going to buy them from you. And this is how Rashi explains. Lo nishte mei be'er, mei borot haya tzeich lomar. The pasuk should have said mei borot. But what does it mean, mei be'er? Kach amar Moshe. Aval bishesh be'adenu man lechol uve'er lishtot. Although we have food, we have water as well. Lo nishte mimenu, ele nikne mikem ochel umayim lana'atchem. We're going to buy everything from you. Says Rashi, mikan lachsanai. This comes to teach us how a person that is a guest should conduct himself. אף על פי שיש בידו לאכול, although you brought with you food and drinks and everything, יקנה מבעל הבית כדי ליהנות את אושפיזו. Make sure to spend money in order that the host would benefit from it. Now, this is something that's very much nogע to us as well. We go to those people, places and cities, we need to show them that we're spending money. Otherwise, we are not wanted over there. And therefore, oh, that becomes a very big burden on them, especially when Jews come. Why is that? Because Jews don't buy anything. You can't eat by their restaurants, and you don't buy their entertainment, and every many other things that we don't do that that they have for sale. And therefore, whatever we could benefit those people, and we are staying by them, one should, it says over here, spend a little bit money to show them that we are not greedy and we're not here just for ourselves. We are over here to benefit the host as well. This is how Rashi looks at it. And this is what it says in the Gemara, that whenever you have a guest should also leave a gift by the host. So if you have a host, it says in the Gemara, ישאיר מתנה, גמרא יומא י"ב, אורח ערה למשבק איניש גולפה ומשחה לאושפיזה, which means you, the דרך ארץ is to leave to the host some kind of gifts, whether it's gulfa, which is a small bottle or small something that has some value, like a jar, ומשחה, some leather, some pieces of leather that he could benefit from. You leave some kind of a gift. Why is that? To show them that we appreciate what they're doing. When you do that, they look at it at a good eye, and not only it's not only benefiting this very instant that we have, but rather the next person that's going to come after us, they're not going to say, oh, these Jews are no good, they're no good, they just look out for themselves, and they're not polite, and so on, and therefore not accept them in their town. So therefore it says over here, that one should also spend money at the place that he goes to. Lo nishte mei be'er. We're not going to drink from ourselves. So some things we could buy from those hosts. We go to a place that they hosted us. So in that place, you're paying for the ticket, and you get some things over there that you could buy. A can of Coke, some bottles of water, some fruits, whatever it is, people look at it as an positive, in a positive light, since you're spending money, you're not looking only for yourself. So this is what you learn of him from this very few psukim. Na'abrana be'artzecha lo na'avor besadeh v'cherem lo nishte me'ber derech ha'melech nelech. We're going to go straight. We're going to the direction we want. We're not there to tour the land. We're not like the meraglim. We come in to see what's in their houses, what's in their fields, what's in their schools. We're not there to go into stores just to look, store shopping, window shopping with no intention to buy. It's not what you are supposed to do when you're out there. Although you want to spend the time and you want to have a good time, the places are meant for that. And this is the way the Torah looks at it. This is the way the Moshe Rabbeinu tells us things should be done. So remember the very important things that we said over here. One should be very polite when he goes to somebody else's place. And remember that we're dealing over here with the aspect of Chilul Hashem rather than causing that. One should very importantly do Kiddush Hashem. When you see somebody that's from that town and you greet him, he greets you as the way one should. The Torah teaches us, Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pei Zayin, that you have to ask him how he's doing, which means don't ignore him. We many times feel that if we see a stranger in that place, it's Jewish people don't necessarily have to say hello. No, don't necessarily have to be polite and start a conversation with people. Stay away. That's the way some people feel. But in the Gemara in Bava Metzia Pei Zayin, he says that Dimda Torah derech eretz sheishal adam be'achsanya shelo. A person could ask him how he's doing. Ishal adam be'achsanya shelo. We learn this from the Malachim that asked Moshe Rabbeinu, Ayeh Sarai Shtecha. They asked Sarai Menu, where is Avraham Avinu? And from here the Gemara says that one should ask the other person be'achsanya shelo. How are you feeling? How are you doing? You're having a good day. when you talk to people in a polite way, that causes Kiddush Hashem. A person that is hosted in a place, let's say you go to a hotel, what is the way you should look at it? How you should look at that stay? It says in the Gemara, Oreach tov ma hu omer. What does a good guest say? Kama tirchot tarach bal habayit bishvili, kama basar v'yayin v'ochel meshubach hivi lefanai, ochel v'kol ma shetarach lo tarach ela bishvili, which means, although the host was doing things for himself, he's doing it in order to make his own living. He has a hotel, he wants to make sure that people come to the hotel. He's offering also breakfast over there that one can enjoy with kosher things like the fruits that you could take and coffee, and sometimes you'll find kosher cereal. But everything that he did, you could say, you know what? He did it for his own business. I don't have to thank him. And if you see him, you do have to thank him. And you do have to feel that Oreach tov ma hu omer, if you are a good guest, if you are a good person that understands and appreciates what other people do, you don't look at the reason and the motives of those people, but rather you should be a Oreach tov and feel and look at things in a positive light. Look at my host, how much he was toreach for me. He gave me such a clean room in such a beautiful way. Everything is so nicely and neat. Everything, look at the breakfast that they made, fruits and this and so many good things. And Oreach Ra, says the Gemara, says just the opposite. He says the opposite. He says, no, he didn't. All this he did for himself. It wasn't such a pleasurable stay anyway. And therefore, that is considered Oreach Ra. This is a very, very important thing that when we go out, this is our chance to either do Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem. Another thing that we learn from the parasha continues and speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu that approached by the Kna'anim. Moshe Rabbeinu and Am Yisrael were approached by the Kna'anim. And it says in the pasuk right after, Vayishma Kna'ani melech Arad Yoshev HaNegev ki ba Yisrael derech ha'atarim vayilachem b'Yisrael vayish bimeno shevi. Those Kna'anim heard that Am Yisrael are coming close and they're coming to fight with Am Yisrael. But there's a problem. It says that it was the Kna'anim that heard, but then it says that they sit in the Negev. But the Mefarshim, when they went to look at the Negev, who sits in the Negev, they saw that Amalek is sitting in the Negev, not the Kna'ani. So something's wrong here. Vayishma Kna'ani Melech Arad, Yoshev HaNegev. The Kna'anim don't sit in the Negev, it's the Amalekim. What's going on here? So Rashi tells us, Yoshev HaNegev, Ze Amalek. Who came to fight Am Yisrael at that time? It wasn't the Kna'anim, rather it was Amalek themselves. So why does it say a Kna'ani? Says Rashi, that the Amaleki was sitting in the Negev. Amalek Yoshev Beretz HaNegev, the Pasuk says. And therefore, we're saying over here that it's the Amalekim that came to fight Am Yisrael. So why is it that it says, Vayishma HaKna'ani, says Rashi, Shina et Leshono Ledaber Beleshon Kna'an. Those Amalekim changed the way they talked and they spoke in a Kna'ani language with a Kna'ani accent. Why is that? Kedei sheyu Yisrael mitpalelim lakadosh baruch hu latet Kna'anim beyadam. They made the calculation. We're going to trick Am Yisrael. They think we are Kna'anim, but we're really Amalekim. What are we gaining? Am Yisrael are going to pray to Hashem and say, make sure that we want to defend the Kna'anim, give us the Kna'anim, let us defeat them, and they are not Kna'anim. Therefore, Hashem is not going to answer them, and we'll be able to win them over. Ra'u Yisrael, Am Yisrael, when they came to approach those Amalekim, they saw something very strange. In one hand, levushehem ke levushe Amalekim, they were dressed like Amalekim, ulshonam leshon Kna'an, they were talking to Am Yisrael in leshon Kna'an, and they were dressed like Amalekim. Amu nitpalel stam, Am Yisrael said, you know what? We're not sure. Are they Amalekim? Are they Kna'anim? We're not sure. So therefore, we're just going to pray stam. What are we going to say? Im naton titen et ha'am hazeh beyadi. Give me this nation. Whatever it is, we don't know what they are. They might be Kna'anim, they might be Amalekim. We don't know what they are. Give us those nations. Im naton titen et ha'am hazeh Be'adi. This is the way the Pasuk says that Am Yisrael prayed. So we have over here a very interesting story. What happened over here? We have the Amalekim coming to fight against Am Yisrael. They are making sure that since they know the Amaleki, the Kanani language, they know how to say that, how to say the accent as well, they're going to speak in such a way to make sure that they manipulate Am Yisrael. But they forget one very big thing, and that is to change the clothing. How does that make sense? Why they're not changing the clothing? Whenever you need to go and fight somebody, you don't forget such a detail. How does it make sense that an entire nation that come to fight Am Yisrael, and they're making sure to disguise themselves and to change the way they talk, and they come and they approach Am Yisrael and they say to them, we are the Kna'anim. They forget a very, very important thing, and that is to change the clothing. That's the very first thing that people do when they're spying, when they're trying to do something that the other person should not recognize them. You change your clothing. That's not a rocket science. How do they miss the boat over here? And therefore, we have to come to a conclusion and say the following. We need to understand that when you come to a person and tell them, listen, I want you to look a little bit different than the way you actually look, and play yourself as to be somebody else. A person could call himself a different name, and a person could change the way he talks. But when it comes to clothing, it's very, very hard for a person to change the clothing, and we'll explain. Chazal say that Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim were special, mitzuyanim, in three things that they did not change. Shelo shinu et shemam, et malbusham, they didn't change their names, and they didn't change their clothing, et sfatam, they didn't change the language as well. They didn't change any of those three things. That's what symbolizes a nation to what they are. If you change your name from being Yosef to Joey, if you speak a fluent English without any using Hebrew words, and therefore you're not showing yourself to be related to the Jewish religion in any way, and you also change your clothing, and instead of wearing Jewish clothing, you wear non-Jewish clothing, so what's left of you? Why is it that you are Jewish? Just the fact you were born that way? You have to, in some way, to relate and symbolize the Jewish religion. Therefore, over here, when the Amalekim came, they were told, listen, you have to look as Kna'ani as possible. But I'm sure that instead of calling their Amaleki name, they told them, my name is a Kna'ani name. They changed the name. They don't have a problem with that. Changing the language, a person could change the language and talk a different language without any problem. When we come to dress differently than the way we are, that becomes a burden on us. That becomes very hard. A person that they would tell him, instead of, say, you'll tell a yeshiva boy, instead of wearing a suit, I want you now to wear jeans or shorts and to wear a tank top. A person can calm himself to do that. On the other hand, a person that's wearing such a way, I want you now to wear Hasidish frock. That doesn't work. He can't do that. And even if he does that, only for the tactic that he needs to go into the other place and do whatever he needs to do, it doesn't behave, it can't behave, and it can't relate to it, and it will be right away showing that that's not the way he normally dressed. This is not his, these are not his clothing. And a clothing tell about a person everything about him. Not only that, even if it doesn't tell on the person, but he starts behaving according to the way he dresses. One that wears a suit gets a feeling of seriousness, a feeling of responsibility. A person that wears shorts and a tank top gets a feeling of being lightheaded, being somebody who's reckless, who's careless, somebody who can go and behave in a different way than the person that wears a suit. While a person that's wearing a suit, and let's say tzitzit that comes out, he comes to a store, he has to talk over there differently to the people than the person that wore a tank top and the shorts. He speaks very, very differently. It comes out in a different manner. And therefore, Over here, we need to understand that the Torah was makpid in different places that one should dress up accordingly. Like, for instance, it says in the Gemara in Shabbat Kuf Yud Gimel that Rabbi Yochanan kari lemane machbeduta. He called his clothing my honor, which means the clothing come to respect you, give you respect. If you dress up respectfully, you are feeling respected. You are acting respectful. And if you don't, if you underdress, so you're not respecting yourself, people disrespect you even though you're behaving the same way. But not only that, when a person wears respectful clothing, he also behaves in a more respectful way. And therefore, the Torah says on Shabbat, v'chibato, and the drasha on that, shelo yeh malbushcha shel Shabbat, ken malbushcha shel chol. This is the halacha. That one on Shabbat needs to dress up, and he needs to look with Shabbat clothing. And let's say a person is not feeling good, he doesn't go to shul, a woman that doesn't go to shul, she stays all day home. So she can stay with the pajama all day. Why not? She'll feel comfortable. This Torah says, lo yeh malbushcha shel Shabbat, ken malbushcha shel chol. On Shabbat, you wake up, you dress up. How do you dress up? Put something comfortable. No, you have to dress up with your suit. You have to look very nice. Make sure your clothing are clean and washed and ironed and so on. Why is that? Because on Shabbat, you have to respect yourself. You have to respect the Shabbat. The way a person dresses tells a lot about him and a lot about the way he feels. Now, it's very interesting that when we come to a research, there was this author, famous author in Israel. His name is Dan Ariely. He wrote a very nice article. He wrote the following thing. He said that one time he received as a gift a very expensive Rolex watch, and he put it on his hand. He was here in New York, and at the time he was wearing it, he was feeling very, very elevated. He was feeling very, very important. Although he was covered by the sleeve of his jacket or of his shirt, and nobody could have seen it, but he saw that he feels more important. He saw that he was walking more straight with the head up, and he saw that it had an effect on him. And he went afterwards home, and he was thinking and thinking about this phenomenon. How could it be that I have a watch and nobody else knows that I have such an expensive watch because it was covered, but still I feel about myself much more important than I felt before? And he decided that he's going to make an experiment. And he bought some very expensive name brand sunglasses, Dolce and Gabbana. And he went with those very expensive glasses, and he took some ladies for that experiment. And he told them, look, I'm going to give you those eyeglasses and a certain tasks that I want you to do. Now, he divided those women into three groups. One group was ladies that he told them, those are very, very expensive sunglasses. Those are name brand. The second group, he told them, those glasses are only imitation. They're not the real thing. They're not the real Dolce and Gabbana. No, those are something that you buy for a few dollars in Chinatown. And then a third group, ladies that he didn't tell them anything. He gave it to them without saying anything. And in the experiment, he started checking the way they behave. And one of the tests was, he gave them a certain test that they had to fill in. And one of the tests, there was very easy, you could easily cheat the system. You would be able to see the answers and cheat the system. And when they see the answer, they would copy those answers into the test they were given, and they afterwards hand it and give their own score without actually being asked what the answers are. And therefore, since it's very easily that was a very easy way to cheat the system and cheat in the test, he wanted to see who would behave in which way. And he found out a very interesting result. And that's the way it went. He saw that those that wore the authentic name brand, he saw that they felt chashuv, and only 30% of them were cheating on the test. While on the others that wore the sunglasses that he told them, those are imitation, those are not the real things, 74% of them cheated the system. 74% were cheating in the test. And the other hand, on the group that didn't know anything, they didn't know, they weren't told if this is imitation or the real name brand, over there 42% were cheating. So it came out to the conclusion like this, that whenever you have something that you feel that's an imitation, you feel that is something that's cheap, you feel something that is not not authentic, you feel something that is you cheating the system by wearing such a thing that is not the real thing, the real thing would cost couple of $1,000 and you have something that only looks like it but really costs in the store in Chinatown, you go over there and you buy it for $3-4. So therefore you have a feeling of I can cheat, I can lie, I don't have to say the truth. And this feeling comes and takes you to cheat in the test as well and cheat in life as well. While the other people that wore those glasses that were authentic, those people were felt more important about themselves, more chashuv about themselves. How could you cheat when you are such a chashuv person? And therefore, only 30% of them were cheating. On another aspect that was found over here in this experiment is that those that didn't know anything, they did only 42% of the cheating on the test, which means there's a very small gap between them and those that wore the authentic glasses, and very big gap between them and those that wore the imitation, those that were not the name brand. What does that come to show you? It comes to show you that be'etzem, you have much more pull to do the wrong things when you're already doing something wrong. When you are doing something that's not correct, that will draw you and bring you to do something else that is wrong. And that's what's happening when we are dressing up as well. When we dress up in something that's chashuv, we react to it in one way. When we're dressing very cheap, we dress like they dress in the bars, in the clubs, that brings us to behave in such a way, and one should very much take this to heart. We feel that, you know, I'll dress the way I want, and it's my business. Nobody should care the way I want. I'm dressing for myself. I'm not dressing for anybody else. All those are very nice words. But when you do something for yourself as well, that pulls you to behave in a certain way, even without you knowing unconsciously. You're going to feel that way, the way you dress. And you see that many times. Person dresses in something and he has something dirty on the shirt, so he'll feel very uncomfortable with it. It takes down his self-esteem. It takes down his self-confidence. Why is that? Why you don't feel confident when you don't feel that way? Because the clothing reflect who you are, although they don't have to. But that's the way we feel and that's the way we behave. And this is the way, this is what Amalek understood. That we can do, we can change our name. Instead of calling yourself Musa, will call ourselves something else that's more, sounds more like Canaan than Amalek. How about talking a language? We don't have a problem talking a different language. But changing the clothing, it's a very serious thing. If we're going to wear Canaan clothing, we can't be anymore Amalek. That takes away our essence. And that is a very bad thing in a war. Why? Because Amalek have to fight like Amalek. Amalek is ISIS. You have to fight with full force. You have to be brutal. You have to go and kill the other person with all the cruelty. When you're not Amalek anymore, because you change the clothing to Canaan clothing, then you become a little bit more of a softy. That Amalek understood as well, that when you do something, one thing you can change is your clothing. You are what you wear. You wear what you are. This is very important. So therefore, that comes to teach us that Musar, that the way we dress is very, very important. It tells a lot about us and helps us behave on the right way. So therefore, you have a halacha like this in Hilchot Tefillah, that one needs to dress very respectfully in Tefillah. If you come to the davening with your short and your tank top again, your davening doesn't look the same as if you come in with a suit, with a clean shirt, when you stand up over there in a respectful way like that. then your davening looks very differently. And not only on davening, in every aspect in life, if a person dresses more seriously, he'll act more seriously. And when he dresses more lightheaded, he would come out more lightheaded. The words that he would talk would be like that. The behavior that he does would be like that. The results of everything that he does would follow along. And therefore, that's a very important musar that we learn from this maaseh of Amalek. Thank you very much for joining us.